You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Good morning, everyone. I thought this week we would take a little bit of a hiatus from Daniel to talk about mothers, as it is Mother's Day. And I want to start this morning by sharing three different readings, two of which I shared with you last year, but I thought they were so good that I wanted to remind you of them again. And one that I found just a little while ago. The first one goes like this. A mother comes with all different names. Aunts who love, worry, and play. Teachers who help you, guide you, and set your aim. Sisters who listen, cry, and put your worries at bay. Grandmas with warm cookies, hugs, and prayers so you'll never stray. Yes, a mother does come with all kinds of names. So thank you to all women for being a mother to someone's child, but most importantly, to his child. A poem by Janelle McBride. Beyond the surface of mothering. Forgive us when we assume that what we see on the surface is all there is to your story. We know in our midst there are women and mothers who, like Eve, have children with serious rivalry, like Hagar, have been discarded for a new family and are mothering alone, like Naomi, have tasted the bitterness of a child's death, like the mother of Leah and Rachel, knows what it's like to have one child favored over another by society. Like Hannah, who has been separated from your child at a young age. Like Mary, have a complicated pregnancy story. Or like Tamar, have tried multiple ways to become a mother. Or like Rachel, have counted the months and years while other women in your family and circle of friends become pregnant. Who, like Rebecca, are drawn to one of your children more than others. Like David's mother is raising children after God's own heart, and though you rejoice in watching them, don't want to rub it into your friends' faces. Like Ham's mother, have children whose substance abuse can cause problems. Like Bathsheba, have sick children who may die. Like Joseph and Benjamin, experience the death of their mother. Like Mary, have children with public legal situations, and all you can do is watch. Like the Shunammite woman, who, when told by Elisha she would become pregnant, replied, "No, please don't mislead your servant." Like her, not wanting to open doors to hope, only to have them slammed in your face. Like Hannah, who have known the provoking of a family member. Like many, who have watched their mother's age and waste away before their eyes. Like Moses' mother, reluctantly gave up her child because it wasn't safe for you to bring her child up herself. Or who, like Pharaoh's daughter, were called to love and nurture children that weren't yours by birth. Like Timothy's mother and grandmother, are steadily and without much fanfare or recognition teaching your children about the truths of God, sowing seeds for eternity. Like the unnamed woman, who never quite fit into the norms of society, either never marrying or having children, not yet wanting to. You are all in our midst. We are called to be a people who rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Today, our stage is big enough to do both. For the seen and known joys of motherhood, we rejoice and smile and celebrate with you. For the seen and known suffering in motherhood, we ache with you. For the private, unseen, and unknown joys of motherhood, like Mary, may you treasure them in your hearts. And for the private, unseen, and unknown sorrows and suffering of motherhood, may you know you don't always have to be happy in our midst. You are engraved on the palms of God, both the seen and the unseen, held together by him. And then this. Somebody once wrote this. Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit they produced to wash dirty faces, all the old gum they held in their hands, all the noses they wiped, and all the bloody knees they made well with their kisses. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, enduring all those football and soccer games in the rain. It's a day of appreciation for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do, not believing them when they said, "I hate you," and sharing their good times and their bad. What are mothers? Well, mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners or mowers of lawns. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors, chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies and shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, "I love you." And mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things and so much more. This morning, I just want to say happy Mother's Day. And maybe with all this in mind, we can maybe better understand the mother that I want to look at this morning. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 20? And I want to read for you four verses. Matthew chapter 20 and verses 20 to 23. As you're turning there, I would be honored if you would pray with me. Our God and Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we look into your word, that you would help us to better understand the model of a mother. And we're just so thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for our grandmothers. We're thankful for our aunts. We're thankful for all the women in our lives that have made an impact in one way or another. And Father, we want to honor all the important women in our life this morning. Would you help us to do just that? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now on the surface, if you just take a passing glance at this story, if you just kind of pick this one out and you just read these four verses, it might not seem all that significant. It might appear to you to just be a story of the disciples once again trying to get theirs, and this time James and John are dragging their mom into it to try to convince Jesus to give them something that they desire. But it is important to look at this story in context. We need to make sure that we take a look at this story, where it's placed and what comes before, and consider some of the things that were going on. Some of the things we have to kind of extrapolate, but consider this. I think that James and John's mom was aware of the things that Jesus was saying about a lot of things, but certainly about the kingdom. She would have been aware of what Jesus was saying about the kingdom that was to come. And every Jewish person back then was waiting for the kingdom, right? And so this would have been something that she, along with everyone else back then, would have been very, very interested in. So James and John's mom was aware of what Jesus was saying about his kingdom. She would have also been very aware of the fact that her two sons, James and John, were very close to Jesus. I mean, they probably were considered to be in the, if there was such a thing, maybe the inner circle, along with Peter. They were the ones that were present at all the really important things. They were present at the Transfiguration. So Mrs. Zebedee, if I can call her that, was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that they would have positions of authority, that they would have positions of responsibility. But take a look at the beginning of the chapter, because there was a story that might have concerned her. It was the story of about a landowner who went out to find laborers early in the morning to work in his fields. And they agreed upon a fair day's wages, and the laborers started to work. Then at noon, the landowner went out and he found some more laborers, and he brought them back, and then they started working. Then towards the evening, he went out and he found some more. And then he brought those laborers back and they started working. But at the end of the workday, the landowner paid each of them the same wage. It must have caused James and John's mom to wonder. Maybe she wondered something like this: will my sons really have positions of authority in the Lord's new kingdom? So when the opportunity presented itself, she came to Jesus. We don't know if it was under the behest of James and John, or if it was just something that she was wondering on her own. But whatever the case was, she came and she presented herself before Jesus. Matthew says that she bowed down before him and she made this request: when you establish your kingdom, please let my sons sit in places of authority and honor on your right and on your left. Now, we read something like that and, oh, we're quick to criticize, aren't we? Oh, how dare she? I mean, what was she thinking? That's pretty bold. That's pretty arrogant. But I want us to look at it a little bit differently. And I want to try to put a little bit of a positive spin on it. I don't want to make a commentary on whether she was right or she was wrong. Here's what I want us to consider. Because it is Mother's Day, let's think for a few moments about some of the positive things that James and John's mom was trying to accomplish here. And just as an aside, I want you to also recognize that when she came to Jesus, while Jesus did not grant her request, neither did he deny it. He simply reminded her of the cost of being seated on the right or the left, and he told her that it is the Father who determines who is seated there. So let me give you three positive things that I think that Mrs. Zebedee was trying to accomplish for her sons. Here's the first thing. I think that she wanted her sons to be a part of his kingdom. I mean, that's simple in itself, but it's totally true. She wanted her sons to be a part of the kingdom. And that's an incredibly positive thing that she wanted. Putting aside how she went about it, that was her desire. She came to the Lord and she asked that her sons might be a part of his kingdom. And I can think of no more important task in motherhood than that, to seek to ensure that your children are a part of the kingdom of God. She wanted them to have a place. And isn't that what we desire for our children? Isn't that what we desire for ourselves and the people that we love? We want the people that we love to be part of the kingdom of God. That was James and John's mom's desire. She wanted them to have a place. We all know that parenting isn't easy. James Dobson tells a story about a time when he came home when his son Ryan was a small baby, and it had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick and had cried all day, and once as he was changing his diaper, the telephone rang and Shirley reached over to answer it before fastening up his diaper, and Ryan had another attack of diarrhea. She cleaned up that mess and she put him into a clean clothes, and then she took him to the living room and fed him, and as she was burping him, he threw up all over himself and her and the couch too. James Dobson wrote, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." And Shirley cried out, "Was all of this in my contract?" sometimes being a parent, being a mother is not easy. I read a quote of a mother who was asked, a mother with three children who was asked, if you had to do it all over again, would you still want children? Yes, she replied, but not the same ones. Being a parent is not easy. It's difficult. Being a mom is difficult. More difficult than I know, that's for sure. But James and John's mom gives us a valuable example because she earnestly asked for her sons to be a part of the Lord Jesus' kingdom. And we need to have that same concern for our children. What good is it if our children are successful in making money, in driving nice cars, in living in good neighborhoods, if they don't know God? What does it matter if they gain the whole world but lose their souls? I hope that in the heart of every mother and every father that is listening out there this morning, that there is a burden to go to the throne of God and to pray for your children. To pray that they will be saved. To pray that they will be served from an eternity separate from God. To pray for eternal life for their children. Isn't that the desire that each and every one of us have, whether you are a parent or not? To pray that the people that mean the most to you have a place in the kingdom of God. That's a valuable example that James and John's mom gives us. She desired that her sons be a part of the kingdom. And that's something that we all should desire about the people that mean the most to us. Secondly, not only did Mrs. Zebedee ask for her children to be part of the Lord Jesus' kingdom, but she also wanted them to be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. I mean, becoming a part of the kingdom of God is really only the first step. James and John's mom wanted them to have a part to play. And isn't that what most mothers want for their children? Isn't that what you want for your children? Churches are full of people that are content to just fill a pew on Sunday morning. There's plenty of people that are willing to sit back and just listen. But what we need are people who are willing to get involved, people who are really willing to make the church go. We need people who are willing to serve. That's what James and John's mom wanted for them. She wanted them to have a part to play. She wanted them to be actively involved in the work of God's kingdom. Where does that spirit of service really come from? Where does it begin? I think that it begins at home. It begins at home with parents who are setting the example. It begins with parents who are praying for their sons and their daughters, hoping that they will want to get involved in the church. As teachers, as leaders, as people who are going to disciple each other, as ones who have a passion for evangelism and would go out and find the lost, to see that the church continues on until Jesus comes back one day. Mrs. Zebedee asked that her children would have an active role to play, that they would be actively involved in the work of God's kingdom. And that, again, is a great example for you, and it is a great example for me. She was a mom who desired the most for her kids in light of God's kingdom. And we need to walk in her footsteps, follow her example. James and John's mom wanted her sons to be a part of the kingdom of God. She wanted her sons to be actively involved in the work of God's kingdom. Here's the third thing. She had big expectations. She had big expectations for her kids. When you're working in a kingdom, there are no higher positions than those on the right and the left of the king himself, right? And that's what she wanted for her sons. She wanted the very best for them. She didn't ask just for her children to be doorkeepers. She wanted them to be on the right and the left hand of Jesus. And like I said before, we might consider what she said to Jesus brash and presumptuous and prideful. And maybe they're all those things. But don't you admire her boldness? I mean, too often people have settled for mediocrity in the church. For too long, we have been content to just barely make it through the door. For too long, we have been content to just sit back and let things happen, let someone else do the heavy lifting. But it's time for all of us to start getting passionate about what the church is doing, about what our church is doing. It's time for us to get passionate about becoming leaders, about molding and fashioning the outreach of the church, about mobilizing to make sure that the message of Jesus Christ goes into all the world. That's what Jesus left us here to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. James and John's mom was a great example here too, because she had big expectations for her kids. She wanted the very, very best for them. And I know that each and every one of you who are listening would say the same thing about your children. I know that you would say that about the people that you love the most. You want the very best for them. Well, does that mentality include their position in Christ? You can say whatever you want about James and John's mom, but there are some good things here. She wanted her kids to be a part of the kingdom. She wanted them to be actively involved in what the kingdom was doing. And she had big expectations for them. She wanted the very best for them. It's because she loved them. And I know that we would echo those words when we look at the people that we love, our kids, our spouses, our siblings. There's a lady by the name of Irma Bombeck who used to write a column weekly. And she said about mothers that when God created moms, he created something very much like himself. I suppose that's why today is so special and why that idea resonates with us. It's because we recognize that a mother's love is probably the closest example that we have to the love that God has for us. I mean, when God sees us, he looks on us as people of value. And I know for certain that my mom sees me as a person of value. I know that no matter what anyone else in the world thinks, I know that my mom is going to love me no matter what. A mom's love is a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It's a love that sacrifices itself over and over again. It's a love that would dare to even lay down its life for its own offspring. There's a story told out of World War II and the Holocaust of a man named Solomon Rosenberg and his family. It's a true story. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons, his mother and father, were all arrested and they were placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you could do your work, you were permitted to live. And when you became too weak to do your work, then you were exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been very frail as a child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family, and when he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces, and he finally found his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping and praying, and he said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." And Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today David wasn't strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. And Mama said, 'There is nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and went with him." That is the epitome of the definition of motherhood. Mothers, grandmas, aunts, sisters, ladies, this is your day, and may God bless you in it. And I pray that if there is someone listening who has never experienced the love of God that is so close to the love of a mother, that today would be your day to become a part of the kingdom of God. I pray that if you have felt that you have had to walk through the valley alone, that you will recognize that there is a hand that is reaching out to you, saying, "There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you." And I pray that you will recognize that there is one who has already gone through that valley, who has gone through the valley of the shadow of death for you, and made it possible for you to live forever. He is Jesus, and he loves you. He loves you like your mother loves you. He extends this loving invitation in much the same way that a mother opens the door and calls her children in to supper. He's calling for you and waiting for you to answer. James and John's mom, she maybe was a little bit brash. Maybe she was a little bit presumptuous. Maybe she was totally in the wrong. But here's what I do know. What I do know is that she desperately wanted her sons to be a part of the kingdom of God. She desperately wanted her sons to be actively involved in the work of God's kingdom. And she had some way big expectations for those boys. She was a mom, and she loved her kids. And that's the best thing that you can say about her. Happy Mother's Day. I can't wait to see you all. Until next week, God bless. Would you pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, I thank you for my mom, and I thank you for moms. Thank you for the gift that they are to us. Thank you for the impact that they have made on our lives in different ways. And Lord, I know that there are those that do not have good relationships with their moms. Father, maybe today is the day that they come to the realization that they've made some mistakes and they need to repair that relationship. Father, I pray that this would be a day of good news for the church and good news for families. We're just so thankful that you have given us the example of your love in the love that our moms have for us. We thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.